We're going to take a look in the Gospel of John, or the reading of the Word, John chapter 14, and I'm just going to be reading three verses, 15, 16, and 17. It is Palm Sunday. This is not a Palm Sunday message. I'm continuing the series of messages from Jesus' Upper Room Discourse, and I want to begin reading in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. The word in the Greek text here is paraclete, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that word today. To be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. My message today is entitled, You Have the Right to an Attorney. I will not be talking about the Bernstein advantage today. But in our country, we do have a law that says whenever a person is arrested, the officer making the arrest has to read them their rights. And those include the right to not talk, if you don't want to talk. Or if you do want to talk, you can have an attorney, get a lawyer to talk for you. And the reasoning behind this is simply that we, as people, especially when we're under pressure, can sometimes say anything against our own best interests. Anybody in here ever say anything against your own best interests? Any time in the last week? Okay. Anyone ever heard a question that invites you to say something against your own best interest? I had an experience like that recently I'm going to share with you. My wife and I were watching television in the living room, and she turned to me and she said, unexpected question, she said, do you think that girl's attractive? And I thought a little bit and I said, what? Feigning ignorance is a legitimate response. We live, I think, in a very talkative age, which is not the same thing as saying that we're very good at communicating. We are able to fill the air with words, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we are any good at speaking or listening or understanding things that people are trying to tell us. It's very easy to communicate if the only things that we ever talk about are superficial things, or if we only talk with like-minded people. But it becomes a bit more difficult, and you know it becomes difficult. You try to talk about a substantive issue with somebody who is of a different gender or a different race or a different religion. Communication can become very, very difficult. And if it is difficult to communicate with our fellow human beings, how much more difficult would it be to communicate with the one of whom the scripture says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. The difficulty of communicating with God is something that we don't often think about, but it is very thoroughly addressed, particularly in the book of Job. I don't think there's any other part of the Bible that addresses this issue the way the book of Job does. And most of us know the story of Job. He is going through a difficult time. He wants to know the reason for his suffering. And he cannot understand why God will not answer his questions. But he doesn't realize the importunity of what he's doing until he is shown that neither can he answer God's questions. And in a flash of inspiration, he exclaims, if only there was someone to mediate between us. And in that moment of inspiration, he didn't know it, but his anguished soul prophesied the coming of Jesus. The passage of Scripture we read this morning, I drew attention to the word paraclete, which is a fairly rare word. It's used there in the Greek text. And my translation here rendered it helper. Most translations render it advocate, but it might also be simply rendered attorney. Jesus spoke of himself as our attorney, meaning that he would mediate between us and God the Father. Jesus serves as a mediator between us and God the Father. But in this passage, he speaks of a second attorney who he said would mediate between us and him. And that, for many of us Christians, is a foreign idea. Now, he's obviously talking about the Holy Spirit, but this raises the important question, why do we need another mediator? And the reason is simply this, and I suppose it's appropriate to think about on Palm Sunday, Jesus was going to go away. For the past 3 years, his disciples had heard his voice with their own ears. They had seen him with their own eyes. They had touched him with their own hands. And now he was going to be gone. And it did not look like a change for the better. And yet a little later in this passage, Jesus says, "It is good that I go." And that is a striking thing to say. You can imagine the disciples asking, "How is it good that you go? I've spent the past 3 years with you. How is it a good thing that you are not going to be with us? But then he says, in so many words, Jesus says, "The one I am sending with you is not going to be with you in the body, but in the spirit." And that means that he will be with you at all times and at all places. And that is where you and I come into this picture and into this passage. We have never seen Jesus the way the disciples did. We have never seen Jesus Christ in the body. Now, I've seen pictures of him. Not photographs. I mean, you've seen paintings of him. He's white, blonde hair, blue-eyed German. Like me. Actually, it's interesting. If you look at portraits of Jesus in different parts of the world, they're all look like whoever painted the portrait. And I think if we actually saw the way he looked, it might be a little bit disappointing. He probably looked a little bit more like Osama bin Laden. And we always imagine him to be the way we want him to look, but the Gospels are very clear that he actually didn't have anything about him that would draw us to him. He was an insignificant-looking person. And I sometimes wonder if it is easier to believe in him now that we haven't seen him than if we actually had. In any case, the point is simply that he comes to us not in the form of his body, but in the form of his spirit. The Gospels do not describe for us what Jesus looked like. They only tell us who he was. And for that reason, even though we have never seen him, we can know him through the intercession of the Holy Spirit. But even more than that, the Holy Spirit, which he says in this passage he would send, continues to intercede for us throughout every stage of our spiritual life. And I want to talk, there's three things I want to talk about with you this morning. The first thing the Holy Spirit does is he always keeps us in the presence of Jesus. When a person is in a body, they can't be with you all the time. They're here as opposed to there. And they're here now as opposed to tomorrow or yesterday. But the Holy Spirit always keeps us in the presence of Jesus. Now, in my own spiritual growth, one of the most important lessons I ever learned is what a medieval monk once called practicing the presence of God. That's one of the most important disciplines I ever acquired. Any of you ever read this little book? Actually, quite a few of you have read that little book. And it's where you learn to direct your attention to the Lord, not only when you're doing religious things like praying or sitting in a sermon or, you know, whatever it is you do, but when you're doing non-religious things like having a conversation or cleaning a house or going to work. And it's just a good way of saturating your life with the thought of God, of sanctifying ordinary life so that you don't divide your life up into two spheres where there's religious life over here and religious things that you do, and then there's ordinary life over there and ordinary things that you do, and they don't have anything to do with each other. But you sanctify everyday ordinary life. So that was a very important step for me in my spiritual development. But as important as that is, and as much as it helps us to grow, we should never think that the continuance of our relationship with God in any way depends on our attentiveness toward Him. Who can count the number of minutes, hours, and days that pass when I have not given a single thought to God, when I have not confessed a single sin, when I have not given thanks for a single benefit that I have received from His hand? And yet, in spite of all of that, I know that I am in Jesus. Not because of any effort I do on my part, but because there is a Holy Spirit constantly interceding with Him on my behalf. And what a great comfort it is to know that my walk with Jesus does not depend on me. And so, to answer an age-old question, if you die before you have a chance to confess, are your sins still forgiven? The answer is yes. The Holy Spirit intercedes with Christ and keeps us in Him, even when our mind and attentions are devoted elsewhere. The second thing the Holy Spirit does is He not only intercedes for us when we fail to communicate, but the Bible says He also intercedes for us when we don't know how to communicate. The Apostle Paul says we don't always know how to pray. There are moments in life where we are facing a situation where we know something ought to be said, but we don't know how to put it into words. And so often our condition is one in which we feel what we want to say. And if we're not wise, we immediately talk. But we're not always able to put those feelings into words that other people can understand. Communication is not as easy as it sounds. You thought all you had to do was talk, but actually you're supposed to also make sense. That could be very, very frustrating. Anybody can talk, but then people look at you and say, you're not making any sense. Now, when I want to communicate with my wife, I look her in the eyes, and I take her by both of the hands. That way she can't hit me with them. I don't actually do that. It was a joke. I couldn't resist. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know how to pray. And you know that's the sign of a good lawyer. We get up and language starts dribbling out of our mouth like so much slobber, and a lawyer gets up and says, Your Honor, what my client is trying to say is. He steps in and he speaks on our behalf because he knows our heart and he knows our mind even better than we do. And just as our relationship with God does not depend on our level of attentiveness, neither does it depend on our powers of articulation. Praise God. Praise God that He knows me, that He knows you, and that He speaks for us what we cannot speak for ourselves. And the third thing that the Holy Spirit does for us is He reminds us of the words of Jesus. Jesus says in this passage that He will remind you of everything that I said. So He's not just a carrier of messages from us to God, but He also carries messages from Jesus to us. Now, that might not sound like a whole lot, but when you think about it, a lot of our misunderstanding of other people happens when we get out of touch with the things that they have actually said. You know what I'm talking about? And this happens a lot of times in close relationships. Unfortunately, more in close relationships. We think we know someone so well that we don't have to listen to them when they talk, right? Because we already know what they're going to say. Or so we think. And this can reach a point where we don't even hear them when they talk. We hear ideas and are going on in our own head about what we think they must necessarily mean. All the other, that's just white noise, right? And you've had conversations like this. You talk right past each other. Boom, boom, boom. Well, that can happen in our relationship with Jesus. We get caught up with what we think we know about Him, what we think we know about Jesus. So we hardly trouble ourselves to listen to the things that He actually says. But the Bible says if we have the Holy Spirit, there will be points in our life where He will bring to our recollection the words of Jesus. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I feel that I am off the path of discipleship. I feel that I am off the path of discipleship. But when that happens, there's a voice that speaks out of my innermost being and says, follow me. And I'm reminded, oh, I must follow. When I'm distracted by the things of the world, he says, watch. You do not know when the master of the house will come. Watch. When I'm discouraged, he says, take heart. When the world seems overwhelming, he says, take heart. I have overcome the world. When I'm alone, he says, I am with you. And when I'm feeling sorry for myself and ready to give up, he says, take up your cross and follow. The words of Jesus brought to us through the intercession of the Holy Spirit. None of us is able to stand on our own two feet. Pastor John talked about that this morning during the baby dedication. Trained to be dependent in the right way. All of us need an attorney. When we stand before the judgment seat of God, we will not stand alone. And while we sojourn on this earth, we do not stand alone. When you feel far from God, there is one who is keeping you connected. When you don't know what to say, there is one who speaks on your behalf. And when you become lost in the world of your own ideas, there is one who will remind you of the words of Jesus. Today, if you are hearing his voice, do not harden your hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great gift that you gave to your disciples so long ago, who speaks to us of who Jesus is, who is constantly interceding for us and speaking on our behalf, Lord, and who reminds us of your words. If we had to stand on our own, we could never stand. It is through your grace, Lord, that we are carried through this life. And I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning that that would be a mighty encouragement in the face of a world that is discouraging so often. And may it be an incentive, Lord, to listen all the more closely. May we hear your voice speaking to us in all of life's situations, that your life would be glorified through our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.